Second book of the discussion which Raphael Hithloday held concerning the best state of a commonwealth by way of Thomas More, citizen and under-sheriff of London.
The island of Utopia is in the middle 200 miles broad and holds almost at the same breadth over a great part of it, but it grows narrower towards both ends. Its figure is not unlike a crescent. Between its horns, the sea comes in 11 miles broad and spreads itself into a great bay, which is environed with land to the compass of about 500 miles and is well secured from winds. In this bay, there is no great current. The whole coast is, as it were, one continued harbor, which gives all that live in the islands great convenience for mutual commerce. But the entry into the bay, occasioned by rocks on the one hand and shallows on the other, is very dangerous. In the middle of it, there is one single rock which appears above water and may therefore easily be avoided. And on the top of it, there is a tower in which a garrison is kept. The other rocks lie underwater and are very dangerous. The channel is known only to the natives, so that if any stranger should enter into the bay without one of their pilots, he would run great danger of shipwreck. For even they themselves could not pass it safe if some marks that are on the coast did not direct their way. And if these should be but a little shifted, any fleet that might come against them, how great soe'er it were, would be certainly lost. On the other side of the island, there are likewise many harbors, and the coast is so fortified, both by nature and art, that a small number of men can hinder the descent of a great army. But they report, and there remains good marks of it to make it credible, that this was no island at first, but a part of the continent. Eutopus, that conquered it, whose name it still carries, for Abraxa was its first name, brought the rude and uncivilized inhabitants into such a good government, and to that measure of politeness that they now far excel all the rest of mankind. Having soon subdued them, he designed to separate them from the continent, and to bring the sea quite round them. To accomplish this, he ordered a deep channel to be dug, 15 miles long, and that the natives might not think he treated them like slaves, he not only forced the inhabitants, but also his own soldiers to labor in carrying it on. As he set a vast number of men to work, he, beyond all men's expectations, brought it to a speedy conclusion. And his neighbors, who at first laughed at the folly of the undertaking, no sooner saw it brought to perfection than that they were struck with admiration and terror. There are 54 cities in the island, all large and well built, the manners, customs, and laws of which are the same, and they are all contrived as near in the same manner as the ground on which they stand will allow. The nearest lie at least 24 miles distance from one another, and the most remote are not so far distant but that a man can go on foot in one day from it to that which lies next it. Every city sends three of their wisest senators once a year to Amorote to consult about their common concerns. Oh, for that is the chief town of the island, being situated near the center of it, so that it is the most convenient place for their assemblies. The jurisdiction of every city extends at least 20 miles, and when the towns lie wider, they have much more ground. No town desires to enlarge its bounds, for the people consider themselves rather as tenants than as landlords. They have built over all the country farmhouses for husbandmen, which are well contrived and furnished with all things necessary for country labor. Inhabitants are sent by turns from the cities to dwell in them. They have built over all the country farmhouses for husbandmen, which are well contrived and furnished with all things necessary for country labor. Inhabitants are sent by turns from the cities to dwell in them. No country family has fewer than 40 men and women in it, besides two slaves. There is a master and a mistress set over every family, and over every 30 families there is a magistrate. Every year, 20 of this family come back to the town after they have stayed 2 years in the country. And in their stead, there are another 20 sent from the town, that they may learn country work from those that have been already 1 year in the country, as they must teach those that come to them the next from the town. By this means, such as dwell in those country farms are never ignorant of agriculture, and so commit no errors which might otherwise be fatal and bring them under a scarcity of corn. But though there is every year such a shifting of the husbandmen to prevent any man being forced against his will to follow that hard course of life too long, yet many among them take such pleasure in it that they desire leave to continue in it many years. These husbandmen till the ground, breed cattle, hew wood, and convey it to the towns either by land or water, as is most convenient. They breed an infinite multitude of chickens in a very curious manner. For the hens do not sit and hatch them, but a vast number of eggs are laid in a gentle and equal heat in order to be hatched. And they are no sooner out of the shell and able to stir about, but they seem to consider those that feed them as their mothers, and follow them as other chickens do the hen that hatched them. They breed very few horses, but those they have are full of mettle and are kept only for exercising their youth in the art of sitting and riding them, for they do not put them to any work, either of plowing or carriage, in which they employ oxen, for though their horses are stronger, yet they find oxen can hold out longer. And as they are not subject to so many diseases, so they are kept upon a less charge and with less trouble. And even when they are so worn out that they are no more fit for labor, they are good meat at last. They sow no corn but that which is to be their bread, for they drink either wine, cider, or perry, and often water, which boiled with honey or licorice, with which they abound. And though they know exactly how much corn will serve every town, and all that tract of country which belongs to it, yet they sow much more, and breed more cattle than are necessary for their consumption. And they give that surplus, of which they make no use, to their neighbors. When they want anything in the country which it does not produce, they fetch that from the town, without carrying anything in exchange for it. And the magistrates of the town take care to see it given them. For they meet generally in the town once a month, upon a festival day. When the time of harvest comes, the magistrates in the country send to those in the towns, and let them know how many hands they will need for reaping the harvest. And the number they call for being sent to them, they commonly dispatch it all in one day.